My name is Kathy Wells, and I'm acting as the mediator today at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church for the first group interview. We'll begin on my left and have each individual introduce themselves. Sister?
My name is Mary S. McGill.
How long were you a member of this church?
I joined Friendship Missionary Baptist Church in 1949. And I've been a member there, I believe, this will be the 54th year. Thank you, 54 years. Mm-hmm. And while there, my husband was installed as deacon, and I was a deaconess. And I was also chairman over our missionary group. I was a mission study chairman. And my children was all raised up there in Sunday school and things of that sort.
That's good. Okay.
My name is Walter Kennedy. Everybody call me Buck. I joined Friendship in 1951, and during that time, I sung with the children's choir, and I became a junior deacon in my church. And I was very excited being a junior deacon because I used to watch the other deacons stand up across the front, mm-hmm. and I always wanted to do that. And so I became a junior deacon, and that was very, very exciting to me. And we didn't live in the Brooklyn area, but we lived in Fairview Homes. But every Sunday morning, Mr. Elvin Taylor, he was an old deacon at the church, would pick us up and bring us to church. And we would stay at church all day. All day. All day. I mean, all day. We had the Baptist Training Union there also. And then this, it was a young lady, one of the, I don't think she was a deaconess. But Sister Annie Hempel, she was one of the ladies that brought food, and after BTU we would eat, and then be ready for the midnight service, 7 o'clock service. But it was exciting friendship back there. Everybody knew everybody there. I was close.
That's great. Okay.
My name is Dorothy Queen Shipman, and I lived in the Brooklyn section. And when you're talking about Brooklyn, you're really talking about a section that was made up with the have and the have-nots. Mm. Most of it contained, well, you could find teachers, preachers, doctors, lawyers, and whatnot. Most of them came from Brooklyn, most of them. And when you talk about having and the House of Prayer, talking about Bishop Grace, everybody called him Daddy Grace. And a lot of people, they talk about having the parade. But sure enough, it's true, and I can dearly say this, it could be pouring down rain when time for the parade, but whenever it would be pouring down rain, but when time came for that parade, the rain would stop. And I can truly say this. My mother held me by the hands of many times and took me to the House of Prayer. Hmm. And I graduated from Second Ward High School in 1945. I graduated in June 1945 and married the same year in October. I belonged to the House of Prayer up until the time that I married. And after I married, my husband and I joined Friendship in 1946. So that means that I have been belonging to Friendship for 57 years.
Wow.
Mm. So, after I joined Friendship, I was there when Pastor Carey married his wife, Marzetta Hardy. Mm-hmm. And at that church, we were close-knit. You knew just about everybody there. But since we have moved, we have gotten larger, and sometimes now you probably know the same person that's sitting in the same pew with you. But I have enjoyed it, every moment of it. And I'm here to say that I certainly am glad and I have been blessed through the years.
Mm, that's wonderful. Well, Buck, I see you are nodding your head and remembering some things.
I remember everything she was saying, especially about the House of Prayer, because my aunt was a member of the House of Prayer and she bought me a trombone. And before I could play the trombone, I had to go to the House of Prayer to play it. And Bishop Grace laid his hand on me, and I blew that trombone all night long. But, yes, and so about the parade and everything, it's come down, was that before? You was coming down the board and turn right there at the corner of church at first, and we would be out of church in time enough to see the parade.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to read your church's mission statement that says it was adopted in 1990. It says, "We are the people of God, called together to be the body of Christ, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to proclaim God's will, to love one another, to be instruments of salvation, preaching, teaching, worshiping, caring, sharing, growing, and giving service through community outreach." I want to ask, has this always been a part of the focus of the church? And how did this drive community involvement in Brooklyn?
I beg your pardon, I didn't understand it.
Okay. Your mission statement talks about community outreach. Is that always been a part of the way the Brooklyn Church has conducted itself? Have you always been real strong in missions and real strong in outreach?
Yes, we've always been in missions.
Can you tell me about it? Anybody?
We've always given to the mission. Things that have come up. We've always been a mission church.
Yeah, we've always given, and we had always did things to raise money, mm-hmm. you know, or having on different things that we would have to raise money. But then our pastor, at the very end, he decided we didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So we decided to be a tithing church. But at the time when I went there, they were having fish fries and chicken struts and all that kind of stuff. But then, I think some things happened that wasn't too pleasing with him. And then he decided that we would be a tithing church. But at the time, I was tithing anyway.
Right.
I had been tithing ever since I was 11 years old. Because my mother joined a Seventh-day Adventist church. And that's what I was before I married my husband. Then I married him. He never forced me to join Friendship. But I would go to church on Saturdays, and he would go on Sundays. But I still go with him. So I told him if he bought me a long ballerina dress, I would join the church with it. And he said, "God knows I'm going to get you that dress." But that Sunday I went, and the pastor preached over in Perry. Well, I forgot about the dress and everything else, and I joined that Sunday. And then ever since then, you know what I mean, but Friendship has really been instrumental in helping everybody as long as I've been in that church.
Can you tell me about some of the functions that you did within the community to help? You talked about fish fries, you talked about things like that, things to minister to the community while you were in Brooklyn, and then maybe how that's changed over time to today.
Well, like I said, that they were raised up in that area, mm-hmm. but I just moved to Charlotte in 47.
Right.
And, of course, I've been going, she was talking about the House of Prayer and all like that. Mm-hmm. We would have joined the House of Prayer, but we lived in Mount Holly, but I know when the House of Prayer was there, you used to go in a big shed and it had stamens all over the floor and everything. And then that's when it was moved up on McDowell Street, where Marshall Park is. And you know, but as far as the parts of all the other things, they would know about what was going on in Brooklyn.
Well, we used to have, I remember, I was small, but had clothes drive for people that lived in the area who didn't have blankets or coats or something like that. We would bring extra stuff to the church, and I remember they used to pass it out. I remember that. Mm. And that was like mission back then.
But the house of prayer wasn't as far down as Marshall Park. No, it wasn't that far down. And they had the shadings when the House of Prayer was down on Long Street.
So we've been there ever since I was a little
girl. That's
right.
When I was a little girl.
But when they moved it, I mean, the Savoy Theater is right where the Marshall Park
down
was that
there.
Area.
Yeah, that
it wasn't
yeah.
quite up that far,
that's
but it was
right.
in that area.
Oh, yes, it was in that area.
Because I know Daddy Grace was the kind of person that they didn't allow anybody near. And so when I went to see him, they had the parade. He had fingernails, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so they had taken up money in big things, tubs. And so they didn't allow anybody to go near him. So my husband and I, we walked down, and I was expecting my second child, Paul. So I walked on down there, and the guards was moving him, and I just walked on, and he stood there and looked at me and smiled with those long fingernails. And I walked on up there, and the guards didn't say anything. So my husband said, "Lip, touch him, touch him, touch him." He said, "The baby might be famous." And I went up there, and he took them long fingernails and shook my hand. I went to the hospital that night and had a baby born. And he is a doctor now. So I said, "Lord, I wish I'd shook his hand earlier before."
Well, let me ask you this. What are you shared about joining the church. What are some of your earliest memories of the church as a child, maybe, or being there for so many years? What are some of your memories?
Some of my memories as a child going to the house of prayer.
Friendship.
Mm-hmm. Some of my earliest memories. Mm-hmm. Well, some of my earliest memories going to friendship. I remember, as a preacher, we'd be preaching and we would sing. I know we did a lot of singing. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that. And we would clap, and some of the sisters, they would get happy. And I remember Brother Wallace, he would use the feed the stove. You remember the big stove, the big pot stove. He would keep that fired up. I remember, and we would just have a hallelujah time, singing and praying, praising the Lord. And then at baptism time, we had the baptism, I think it was behind the pulpit, wasn't it? Down on the floor, because I remember taking my children to be baptized. I do remember that. And I remember the first Girl Scout.
Oh.
I remember her. There's quite a few little things like that that I remember. It's, you know, just coming back to me now. It was just nice.
I remember when Anita Stroud Foundation, I used to take Anita Stroud to my home every Sunday, and she had the children's choir and everything, and Macy Irvin and Macy Sims, these were three ladies, widow ladies, that we would take every Sunday to our church. You know, I mean, to my home. Every Sunday from the church, we would take them. So Anita Stroud, I've seen her bring the youth choir, the little children's choir, on up. She's always worked with children. Always, Anita Stroud.
Some of my fond memories are our Sunday school teachers. I'll tell you, we have some stern ladies back there. Miss B.J. Perry, Miss Banner, and let's see, Miss Cook, and Sunday School Superintendent John Hemphill, Deacon John Hemphill, and our Scoutmaster, Coco Hare. These are some of the people that was just right there for you all the time. And I remember, like I said, I was a junior deacon, and there was quite a few of the young fellows that was involved with that, like Harry Jackson, that's Reverend Van Jackson's son, Larry Abbott, that's Gladys Abbott's son, the Irvin Boys, Jerome Morrow, Jerry Jackson. It was just a group of guys that Pastor Carey made us junior deacons. So the main thing for the junior deacon was to pray and do the prayer for the offering. And you're talking about somebody nervous. He stood up and praying in front of the church. And just small like that. I always remember Bishop Dale. He had a gas station and a little right next to the church. And we would slip over there and spend some of our Sunday school, not all of it, but just some of the Sunday school money, getting cookies or sodas or something like this. And then here come Brother Hemphill or somebody runners with back over. But I remember some of those. That's bring back a lot of memories.
Well, you said something about Scouts. Were you involved with the Boy Scouts?
Yes, I was Girl Scout and Boy Scout. And when we moved to the Northwest, I was a member of the Scout Committee. I was one of the committee secretaries of the committee. Yes, I was involved with the Scouts. That's and we would meet, I can't remember, was it every Tuesday or Thursday we would meet.
Well, what are some of the individuals that you looked up to. I know Daddy Grace has got to be one of them. I hear his name a lot. But in the church and in the community, who are some people you remember that stand out to you?
Well, I always looked up to my pastor back then, Reverend Carey. And the reason why, because my last name is Kennedy. And Reverend Carey had handkerchiefs and the socks with the K's on them, and he would give them to me. And the shoes and stuff I would wear, because he helped me out a lot. Suits and stuff he would give to me. And I was looked up to Deacon Rob Ligon. I remember when he became a deacon at the church. Deacon William Irvin, Adam Manigo. These men's artists, Deacon, your husband, Dr. James McGill. These guys are, I was, like I said, when I was young and standing there, sitting in church and look up at them across that front row there, even just looking to see the love that they had for the people and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And they was real Christian men. And I always say I want to be like that.
Daddy Grace was just a man in the community there. I mean, I didn't worship him or anything, but I looked up to my pastor. Coleman W. Carey was one of the most loving people and would stoop to help anybody if he could. Mm. He was a wonderful person, and children, he just loved children. He loved people, you know what I mean? And he never got above himself. He was just a humble person. And I know the time that they wanted to put me in certain positions, and I thought I just didn't have the ability to do things. And he would look at me and said, I was over the first spiritual choir, and I started this first spiritual choir. Then we opened the daycare center. Oh, of course, that's in this church, the old church. But back then, I was singing on two choirs. As I foretold and told Mr. Buck Kennedy, we made the first album.
Tell me about that.
We made the first album, and Rosina Nichols was our minister of musician at that particular time. And she had a what you call an anthem choir.
Right.
She took me off the choir which your mother was on. And I think I was the only one off of that choir that she took over that particular choir and put on the choir with Buck and Kennedy and all of them. And so what happened one night, they had a song, and they was trying to get somebody to get the right tune of that song, and they just couldn't get it right. So when I got ready to leave, I walked out, but when I went by there, I yelled out, what was that song I was saying? I can't think of it right now. And she said, come back here. So we came back, and so she let me lead that song, and from then on, Buck and I and all the other ones made the first album. Then that's when we got together.
And Friendship back then was one of the first churches that had a broadcast, WGIV. I'll never forget, we used to get there early that Sunday morning and broadcast from the telephone, to the station. And that was exciting. And the favorite song that comes on is Look For Me Somewhere in Heaven, I'll Be There.
Yes, Lord.
And that was just something. Then Rem Carey would preach and we'd close it out. It was just something.
Do you remember some things you'd like to share, Ms. Shipman?
Well, I remember some things too. I remember I looked up to Reverend Carey and his wife, Sister Carey. Yes, I really did, because they always would give us good advice about things. And he was also a teacher as well as a preacher, which I admired so much. He and she both would do that, and I really admired him for that. You were sick or something, he would always come by your home and to see you and talk with you and do anything that they could to help you. I admire that about them.
Okay, well, we'll move along in time a little bit, up to basically the 60s when all the urban renewal started. When the church body learned that it had to leave Brooklyn, do you remember that at all? Do you remember any of the events around that and how it affected the church?
Yes, we had what we call a 30-day service when we got ready to move from the board to where we're going to find somewhere. Right. And we had several places that the deacons and trustees looked at, And we found out it was going to go somewhere down here off of 77. But we found out that 77 was coming through there, so we didn't go there. So we didn't have anywhere to go. So that's when we got to Northwest School. And we have church service down there in Northwest. But for the 30-day service, we did go back from the old days, and we did a play. Miss Carey was the director, and we did the old members of the church. We portrayed the old members of the church, how the church got started, and everything like that. And I can't remember some of the stuff.
Were you part of that?
I was part of it, but I can't remember.
Do you remember that?
Some of it, not all.
Do you remember how you felt when you learned that you'd have to?
Sad. Very sad.
Very sad.
What were some reactions? Did you try to change the course of what was going to happen, or?
Well, really, you couldn't change the course because it was already there. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to just renew it, come and wipe out everything because they wanted something else. And but I can say one thing: I was very proud. Church didn't split up because of that. The church stayed together. We all stayed together. Reverend Carey made sure we stayed together. And I was like, that was very good because, you know, some churches get stuff like that, they split up, but we did not.
No. Yeah, because I remember then there were where Adams Mark is, where St. Paul used to be. Mm-hmm. And where the Aquatic Center is, that's where Sycamore used to be, right there. And I know when St. Paul moved over on Allen Street mm-hmm. at that time, I think some of them, it wasn't, you know, an agreement. I don't know what happened. But as he foresaid, Reverend Carey held everything together. And the Lord had blessed us with wonderful ministers, really. Yes. Because after our pastor left, then God sent us another one whom we love.
Yeah.
So I said I've been fortunate enough to be in a church where God has sent some good leaders. But Reverend Carey was a very humble person. Like you said, if he was sick, he would be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wherever. I remember an incident happened, and I won't say what it's all about, but I couldn't believe that he was there. And I looked up, and he was right there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And but he was just that kind of a person. Very down-to-earth-like person.
Well, tell me about the transition from Brooklyn to the high school, the services there, how were they, and then about looking for the land and everything.
Well, when we left Brooklyn, people, we thought things going to just fall off. But when we got to Northwest, it just picked up, and church started growing. It really just started growing, because I think when we left the old church, we had about maybe 400 or 500 members.
Something like that.
When we left the old church. And then when we got over this side of town, things picked up and started singing with the choirs and making albums and so we could buy roles.
Right.
The transition was just fantastic.
But let me go back again when I said Pastor Carey was the time to go and visit. We didn't have that many members. So right now, mm-hmm. it was, can't no minister visit. That was what we got now. That's why we got other people. So I want to say that so it wouldn't look like a bad impression on our pastors.
Oh, no.
It was just that we didn't have that many members, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And when we moved to the school building, I think it was a place where it was near the school and the area, and after we had a good choir, just like we have now, but people then just start coming, and when they come, they would join, and they enjoy the service, and we didn't act like a city church. I mean, you know, most city with that. We were having church. Mm. And this man got a big mouth, and when he opened his God knows something comes out. You know what I mean? This man can sing. And I think we both had big mouths.
Oh, yes.
all of us. And you know what I mean? We didn't play when we go to church. We went to serve the Lord. And that's what we did.
We had two of them.
I'm telling you. And that man could preach. And he had a very sweet wife also that was very, you know, inspirational and then helping him to do and whatever, you know. And it was just wonderful. And I was so thankful to the Lord that we didn't split. Stuck right together. And then after we left there,
still,
stay right, then we had to leave again and go up to the Y. Renovated this place again.
So, after you built this,
yes.
You ended up moving again for a little while to come back. Well, do you remember the dedication service here or the groundbreaking at this church? Do you remember that service?
Yes, I remember because I helped dig the sidewalks out here. The trenches for the sidewalks.
You mean the groundbreaking service?
All of that.
That was it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought it was groundbreaking when you just show that,
Groundbreaking when come in and just throw a little bit of dirt up here and say, this is where we're going. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thought you meant.
Oh, yeah. But, yes, that too. But when we was building the church.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, you know.
Everybody helped.
Mm-hmm. But the deacons, trustees, was the one, because we had Deacon Irvin, I think he's a contractor, and he shows how to lay the sidewalks and stuff like this there.
Okay.
Bill Irvin, Weem Irvin.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
My husband was a plaster contractor.
He was a contractor.
He would come up and everybody would just, jump in and have to do different things.
And then Deacon Williams, yes.
I didn't know that.
Deacon Williams, you remember he was short, Deacon Williams?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so, there's a picture out here somewhere with me standing up looking. I can't remember where it is.
Well, what are some of your favorite functions that you've been involved in since you've been at this site?
When I sang in the women's choir about 5 years ago, with my instructor, she had to leave to go back to Colorado to take care of her mother. So we disbanded. And after we disbanded, then the women's choir, they changed the name to the women's choir.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to sing on the church choir, the regular church choir, and then Deacon Morrow, he's deceased now, and Reverend Carey brought up that we need to get up a hymn choir, because it was a Baptist church, and most, back then we had the old spirituals and everything. So Deacon Morrow and I, we got together and we call it the hymn spiritual choir,
spiritual choir
at that time. And so we got the hymn choir started. Deacon Martin, we started the hymn choir. And then after that, it just kept going, and then they changed it to the spirit. It was spiritual first.
Yeah, spiritual, then first,
and then it changed it to the hymn choir. So it's still going. The hymn choir is still going, doing beautifully. Of course, I'm not on it now, though. But it's still going. And then we started the daycare center when we first moved in here.
Mm-hmm.
We started the daycare center when we moved in here in 70, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
We moved in here in 70. And I started the daycare center and stayed here 13 years. And then I retired out of that. Then we started the cradle roll department. And that's when babies are blessed. The pastor will bless the baby, and then you give them a Bible and a certificate. And it's something they will have from birth on up through the years, Some of them wanted to give spoons, and I said, give them a Bible, something they can treasure for the rest of their lives. So that's what I would go down to the Bible bookstore, what used to be on College Street at that particular time, and get anywhere from 15 to 20 Bibles, and we just have them here when the baby was blessed. At that time, we had a godparent. The godparent of the child would come up and present the Bible, but, things changes now, so all of that was when I was here.
Did I remember you saying that you had seen my husband's picture?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I would like to say this, if I may. When we were at Friendship in Brooklyn, my husband, he was an usher there at one time. And in Friendship, he also sang with the men's choir until he came down with lupus. He has the skin on the lips. And at times his lips will swell, and that's the reason why he had to get out of the men's choir.
Mm-hmm.
But he really wants to go back, but he knows the cancer.
Well, he was very active when you were in Brooklyn, wasn't he?
Yes, I would like to say that.
What were some of the other things that he was involved in then and now?
With the Brotherhood.
Tell me about the Brotherhood. I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the Brotherhood is... But all men of the church should be a member of the Brotherhood. It's just like a helping hand to other families that need help. Brotherhood can come right in and do that. It's a mission.
Okay.
That the Brotherhoods do. And that was back in the olden days. And then now it's still going on now, which is much bigger than it was when we was coming along. Because when we was coming along, there was no more about 6 or 7 or 10 of us doing it. But now it's every man of the church should be a member of the Brotherhood.
That's great. Well, I know you said the congregation stayed together,
yes.
Which is tremendous.
Yeah.
And you've had your 100-year anniversary in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Were you part of that anniversary service? Do you remember the things that went on to get ready for that, or were you involved in that?
I know we had so many new members that came in, and so was that the time when they had the magazine with everybody's picture in it?
There was quite
a few that weren't in there, because, I mean, we had new people that was, you know, trying to get the history of the church, and it's like you all are doing now, you're getting the people that you know,
right.
Been there, but we have quite a lot of members here now, in different positions and everything. And because I wasn't part of getting that together, anything like that. I don't know whether the others were or not.
My mother was.
But I wasn't. In
that's why I wanted her to be here, because she had all the history and no ideas.
What was your mom's name again?
Alma Kennedy.
She was over our missionary group, which was called Luke.
Okay.
That was a missionary group, and she was one of the best chairmen. She was a wonderful person. So I think, I don't know what happened, but I know I got in a car accident, and I had to give up a lot of the activities that I was doing. And I think your mother got sick of it, and she got kind of sick and everything. But I haven't been as active in missionary since then, not when we was with his mother. She was over that group.
Well, looking back, and you may have already answered part of this, but looking back from the move from Brooklyn to here, what are some of the positives and what are some of the negatives that you think about? What are some good things and what are some bad things or things that you might miss?
One thing I always remember when we moved up here, we had an opportunity to buy the apartments, but we just didn't have enough money to get those. And I always say, if we just had enough money to get those apartments, we would own those apartments today, right next to the church there. That's something I always remember, that we just didn't have enough money to get there. Remember that?
Pastor Karen told me, Sister McGill, said, I have some deacons. Said that they were more in agreement and to leave. We would own all of this $1 million deal.
Big deal, that's right.
Everything around here. And you see, that's why they give a minister with a vision. See, he had that vision.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the people didn't have it. But it would have been $1 million package deal. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And so they didn't get it, but then they started with that over there.
Yeah.
He started with that, you know. But I just said that they had listened to their pastor. That's why God gave you a leader. You know, if they had listened to it, and I think that really hurt him a whole lot. Just think about everything, the bits about it, all of this, you see, would have been friendships.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that.
And not cutting your sister, but when we got up here, you know, we started that bond. The bond program?
Yes.
Where we, every member would buy a certain amount of bonds and then to help get this sanctuary here. And I remember I was young and I think my bond was about $1,500. That was a lot of money back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I paid that off, and then after my bond matured, they said I could get the money, whatever. So I just turned the money right back to the church. And that was, you know, that's what most of everybody did.
That's what my family, my husband and I, we did the same thing. And then, though, we did, we were fortunate enough to get the old post office.
Old post office, yes.
Each member paid a certain amount.
Certain amount of money.
I can't remember. I know.
How much was it?
$270 per person.
Okay.
$270, and we bought that, then had it renovated and turned it into where you see the enrichment center, what we call it now. But that was the post office right there, that building next door there. But, you know, I think that really hurt Pastor Carey, because we're more or less fenced in, you know what I mean? Only thing is just around either the area there. But like I say, we were just moving into a new area, and maybe the people, like elderly people, thought, well, we're going to get all the money. They couldn't, you know, but Pastor Carey had a vision. See, he had that vision. And said, without a vision, the people perish. So they didn't go, that's why, I mean, if you got a good pastor, people should follow their pastor, if you got a good pastor. And I think God has blessed us both. The length of time I've been in this church, God has blessed us with two wonderful pastors. There's several others before I got to the church that I don't even know them.
Pastor Carey and Pastor Jones.
That's the only two that I know of Friendship, but there are others, a lot of others there. The pictures is up over there in the library. But I know God has blessed us with two good ones now. But we got a lot of others that's coming on, you know. But I can't think of anything that I really miss from being over there, to tell the truth. Because it's a little more convenient over here, really, I think. And we're near, well, they had a Y down there on 2nd Street, and they had a movie and all of that sort of thing down on 2nd Street and everything. And that's what we call it. You remember Ebenezer Church was down there, and it got burned. And then they moved Ebenezer up on Trade, and it got burned. Then they moved it up on Sugar Creek. And I hope it ain't going to get burned this time, because it's beautiful. But that's two times, you know what I mean? Yes, right then. So I really can't miss anything, tell the truth. Because everything is more or less over on here anyway, you know what I mean?
Well, do you think then that the community of Brooklyn, not just this church community, do you think the community has kept ties together? Do you think because of what they went through with urban renewal, it's made you keep ties with each other, or do you think that it was just a mix?
They all have gone. I mean, most, I mean, you know.
Back then.
That's right.
But after they moved us out, most of us moved to this side of town. Mm-hmm. A lot of them moved to this side of town, so we're still right around with each other.
That's right.
But,
so in Brooklyn, that's where they pull, what's that? Center down there, what they closing, Midtown Square.
Oh.
All of that was down in that area of Brooklyn, and where that high rise is, you know, that was called Blue Heaven, and all of those things over there. We were familiarized with all of that, cause that was, you know, where we all live. But then after they got us away from over there, then that's when they put all this, you know, all this other stuff. But that was just, and then everybody moved over on this side mostly.
The projects and stuff.
Except over there in Cherry. They still went that direction now.
Yeah.
Some went back at that area.
Cherry's still over there.
Yes, well, I said Cherry is still there. But those who weren't in Cherry, most of them moved over on this side anyway.
Well, I understand you're getting ready to build. Tell me about your building project you've got coming up for the new church.
It's going to be fantastic. That's all I can say. It's going to be fantastic. God has blessed us real good, and He's still blessing us. And it's something that's been in a vision for a long time. And now I hope I can live to see the day that it becomes reality. I just hope I'll be still be around. But it's going to be fantastic.
Well,
I hope
I can too. I hope I live to see it. Because my mother didn't live to see the Mother House of Prayer, but it was a, you know, famous. But what she had a picture of the first convocation, first baptized. Dead and grave is he who was called, baptizing the first person. And she kept that picture. And when she passed, I took the picture. And when the House of Prayer, they call it the Mother House of Prayer, right down on Bayesford Road, I was going to dedicate it to them, but they already had one. So when the museum opened down on 7th Street, I dedicated it to them and honored my mother, Ms. Selena Hope, from her daughter, Dorothy Shipman.
Oh, that was really nice.
Thank you.
It's very nice. Well, sister, did you have something you wanted to?
No, I was just asking him. I said, my husband will be gone 10 years come August the 2nd. And I was just asking him, I know we was working on this across the street, but I was wondering, he said, no, we had not gotten all of it together when he started out with it, you know. But he knew it was in the making and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's been about 5-6 years since we've been here or something like that.
Probably about 7 years.
That's 7 years.
What, been 10?
Well, if there's something that I haven't asked that you can think of to add, just go ahead. Is there something you'd like to say about the old church or the new church or the progress?
No, as I said, I just hope I'd be living to see.
When we left from over there on First Boulevard, but the church is still going on. Our prayer meetings and stuff like that, we used to have it called a college prayer meeting. And we would go around to different people's homes and in the neighborhood there where we would be. And that's where we would have our prayer meetings.
Is there one in particular that stands out? Somebody's home that you'd like to be at?
No. Not really. Not really. I know we used to go to Miss Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Sloan's home. That was in the Cherry area. Yes, in Harris Sloan. And I always remember, too, that the ministers, guest ministers would come in town, they would have dinner over to Miss Sloan's house. Mm-hmm. Anytime a guest minister come into Friendship, that's what we don't care, we'd take them there. They were standing. It's Sloan's house. Yeah, dinner.
And also, what we used to do before we got over here, they had deacons appointed to go to different members, certain members'
mm-hmm.
homes
mm-hmm.
to pick up the dues,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, stuff like that. And I'm glad that was cut out, though. But, and but that's what they used to do. They would send different members. I think my husband had about 9. Didn't he have about 9?
You do? Yes, ma'am.
Maybe they're disabled then, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't
disabled.
Come to church.
But these weren't disabled. They just had a certain number assigned to this person to go and you know, get up your money for you. But now, it's nothing like that. We just, we don't have that kind of thing, not like that.
No.
We just pay our tithes
pay
and then
tithes.
We just go from there. We are a full tithing church. And I was so happy when they started that, because that's what I've been used to.
Mm-hmm.
When I worked in the neighborhood, $2.50 a week, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
I took 25 cents out every week. And don't you let nobody tell you Malachi 3:10 is not the truth. It will. So I'm telling
you.
It will. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I've been tithing ever since I was 11 years old. And I got my children, and I talked to everybody about tithing. Several people said that one man told me that he was paying $100 a week. He said, that's too much. I said, well, you got $900 left. I said, you want God to cut off your blessings? See, people don't stop to think. A little $100 a week, and you got all that amount left, you know what I mean? And people really don't understand. It is not yours anyway, that 10%. Tens that is not yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're robbing God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they got anybody up on tithing, so some to get up and tell that, I know. But I mean, we are a tithing church.
That's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. We are, and like I say, You can hide if you want to, but God knows what you made and God knows what you got.
Well, let me ask this. Was the tithing part of the Brooklyn church also when you were downtown? Or was that started after you moved out? Do you remember?
It started
when that problem happened.
Yeah, first it wasn't. Because they had all these little different
fish fries.
Pastor A committee and this committee and that committee. Mm-hmm. And they were battling against each other about raising money. And so when Pastor Carey came, and he let it go on for a while, and he just... So now we can't do it. We got to become a tithing church.
But that wasn't the reason. At the
I just say that
you know what I mean. And I walk down the street now a lot of time on Saturday and see these tents of fish fries and all this sort of thing. It would be much more easier that money you buy and pound it to go ahead and give it. I mean, all these fish fries and chicken struts and things. Tithing would much be. If everybody take 10 cents out of their dollar, you'd be surprised. You know what I mean?
That's
But now, I believe tithing is the right thing. But now, God give you some common sense of your own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on television, you hear, send me all your check, and I'm going to pray on it. Now, I'm not going along with that stuff now. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, send me all of this, and I'm going to pray over it and all this sort of thing. I say, you're tithing. Take 10 cents out of one penny out of a dime. I brought my children up like that. I said, if I give you a dime, you better take a penny out of it. You know. But when I was a little girl, I didn't know any better. We'd have to march around to the table. And I'd see people laying down something and picking up something. They didn't explain to me what it was. So I'd go up there and lay down a penny and pick up a penny. And see, they said I was stealing for God, but nobody hadn't told me. So that's why I'm saying train up a child the way it's supposed to go. So I taught my children, take a penny out of a dime out of a dollar out of ten. Look what you have left. And if people teach their children, a child would be glad to take a penny. You know what I mean? But they just haven't been taught. So I'm thankful to God that Reverend Carey did start that tithing.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take just a few minute break.